Welcome to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
We love to begin with a word of prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, teach us how to love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise today. Pastor Portia, Pastor Steve, senior pastors here at Encounter Church, to the saints gathered here, to our friends in Los Angeles, Lexington, Kentucky, London, England, and Liberia, and anywhere else where the saints might be listening with us. To my sugar pie honey bunch. Hey, baby. Princess Pauline. Today, this is, I want to say some things that are working together but might sound like a contradiction. If you're not here and you're listening by way of technology, I encourage you go on to your Facebook page and live stream this. However, some of you have FaceTime on your devices. Do that, and it'll also be on the Encounter Jesus webpage. I'm here today on special assignment. Brother Mac, we're going to be doing some surgery today. And this is, there used to be a time when they rated movies. Now they just show them. This is for the mature. But if you're under 18, don't tune out. Thank you, Jesus. I wish someone had taught me this in 1967, and then again when I was 10 years old. I wish somebody had taught me this in 77 and 87 and again in 97 and in 2007 and 2017. As I was sharing with my pastors, and we're blessed here to have some wonderful pastors. We came, bless God, amen. We came to the conclusion that there were some things that we just weren't, that some people just weren't taught. And so I want you to be, after today, without excuse as it relates to some of the matters that we're going to discuss today. Buckle up. We have some surgery to do. This is very serious. Very, very serious. And I'm glad that you're here to travel with me. In an excellent book, written by Brother Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning at the 37th verse. And if you can put that up, there we go, bless God. Matthew 22 and 37, it says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we want to talk about for a little while, go love. Go love. Now, I hope it hasn't been too long, but some of you remember the first time you thought you were in love with somebody. And you kind of thought that hopefully, maybe, they was going to love you back. And then you looked at them and they looked at you and you looked at them and they looked at you. And one of you said, I love you. And something ran all over you. And because it's a wonderful thing to be in love and also to know that somebody loves you back. Well, first today, I want to make a suggestion, a recommendation. Strongly urge you with all that I have to, number one, go love the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. A whole lot of times we make the mistake of loving a what instead of loving a who. Jesus is asking us to do something, and it might sound ridiculous until you realize that he loved us first. It says, we love because God first loved us. That's in 1 John, the 4th chapter in the 19th verse. We love because God first loved us. Now, thank you, Jesus. If you are trying to hold on to that thing that you think is important, and you have been resisting loving God because God has said we need to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, and all our strength, I want to set you free from something and take you to another level today. God has way more to love you with than you have to love him with. And so it is not a bad exchange for you to give God everything that you have, because God has given you access to everything that he has. Now, I want that to sink in, because some of us are holding on to our stuff because we know that God asks for all. He wants us to love him with all that we have and all that we are. And thank you, Jesus. I want to give you something you might not have thought of. That thing where your greatest problem is just may be the part of your life that you're holding back from him. Some of you are very, very worried about when you're going to get married. And some of you are losing hair, turning gray early, and sweating and gnarling and all of that, doing everything but putting your marital situation on the altar. Now, some of you are worried because you are married. And we'll get there in a minute. But God wants everything, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, because God is going to teach us how to love him. So now, when God is saying he wants all, do not resist that. Love God with all your might, with all your strength. Give everything you have to him, and he is going to make a wonderful and glorious exchange as he teaches you how to be a great lover. Now, brothers, you've been, some of y'all are not getting married because you don't think you're a good enough lover. God will make you such a wonderful lover, you'll be scared of yourself. But if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. God go and first love God, give him all that you have so he can make a divine exchange and love you with all that he has. That's number one. But then number two, go and love your neighbor. Now here I need to slow down because help me, Lord. I want to present to you, some of you have the outline. If you don't, write this down. This is going to, it's going to save you about 20 years. Some of y'all might save you 30 years. Because some of you still haven't found this out. And you've been on the earth a long time. I call this the Huggies principle. The Huggies principle. Now, when, bless God, I was in the delivery room when little Mike was born. And he came out and proceeded to pee on the doctor. And he grinned the cutest little grin. And it was so beautiful, Monty, seeing my wonderful son come into the world. Such a beautiful little golden nugget. And we took him home, Brother Javi. But we did not buy one Huggy. We bought 50 Huggies. And some folk gave us extra boxes of Huggies. And at first I said, why would they give us so many Huggies? But it wasn't too long before my little sweet golden nugget made a poo-poo. And the first time he made a poo-poo, Brother Jim, that was so cute. The first time. Because it showed me everything was working. Like things naturally work. But then I discovered why they gave me, Brother Ron, a box of Huggies. Because they knew that my little golden nugget was gonna do number one and number two over and over and over and over. And so when it comes to love, we are going to need to apply the Huggies principle. First, to our children. There are some of you who are right on the edge of giving up on your son or your daughter because it seems like they keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. But love is patient. Love is kind. Love endures over and over and over again. And as I was studying this, you can give God a hand of praise right there. As I was studying this, Pastor T, I discovered that the Huggies principle also applies in marriage. On your wedding day, she was so fine. He was a tower of love. It was so wonderful. He smelled good, she smelled good, everything was good. But then you took him home. And you discovered that marriages need Huggies too. Over and over and over again. And as I was studying for this, as to how could I say, how do I love my neighbor? And you say, why you say your neighbor? Because your neighbor is whoever you're close to. And some of you have discovered since March 16th that the folk in your house was your neighbor. Because it was convenient going to work.
And some of you didn't realize how much you enjoyed working 2.5 jobs until you had to stay home. And then you discovered the folk in your house were strangers. And you had to get to know your children and your husband and your wife and everybody under your roof. And then you have discovered they need huggies over and over and over again. Now I was doing research, because bless God, I plan on living to be 100 years old, Brother Glenn. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And I was studying about investments and what was going to be the next thing and where to put my money so that it could grow and expand, so that my money could grow while I was asleep. And Sister Linda, I discovered that in Japan, you want to know what one of the largest growth industries is? Adult diapers. Huggies for big folk. Now, I want to say something, and some of you, I wish somebody had told me this. Your mother and your father, if they are still alive, bless God, the day may come, and you need to think about this right now, when you may need to care for them like they cared for you. And I needed to share that with you, because some of you have the nerve to think it's a problem to take care of the very mama, the very daddy that cleaned your nasty behind over and over and over again. And I did some research. Most children take at least 3 years to potty train. And some of them take 5 years to get them potty and trained at night. And so you need to know, this kind of love for the neighbors in your house, your children, your spouse, your parents, and your grandparents is not a one-night affair. And I put it on your outline so you wouldn't lose it. It is, you don't change them because you like it. You don't change them because it feels good. You change them because love changes diapers. And you do what needs to be done, whether you feel like it or not, not just for the babies, but for your children, for your spouse, for your parents, for your grandparents, as long as it takes. And you need to hear that, because that is, Bible love is not talking about a tingly sensation. Now, that is not only at your house, but it is also at the Lord's house. You can see an older fella, and I don't feel old, but I know for sure I'm not young. And you can see an older fella at the church, an older sister at the church, and they're carrying a load that you can see is heavy for them, and God expects you to help carry that load over and over and over again. And he expects us, as we see them, to help meet that need. Somebody say, well, how do I love white folk? Love the first one you see. How do I love black folk? Love the first one you see. They said these two men were walking on the beach, and it was the time of year on this particular beach where starfish would come onto the beach by the thousands. And these two fellas walking on the beach, walking on the beach, walking on the beach. And one of the fellas, he'd bend down and he'd grab a starfish and he'd throw it as far back into the water as he could. And he'd walk a little while farther, walk a little while farther, and he'd grab a starfish and throw it as far back into the water as he could. Because he knew if the starfish stayed on the beach too long, the sun would scorch it and it would die. And finally, the second fellow said, "Man, don't you have more important things to do than to be throwing starfish back into the sea? Don't you have something more important to do? That is so insignificant." And the fellow reached down, Brother Pat, and he picked up the starfish, and he threw it as far into the water as he could. And he turned to the other fellow. He said, "It was important to that one." There are some people who are only going to know love if you love them. There are some people, and you know what? Bless God. And now, I always did this, but I cranked that thing up to 10 now. I am so smiling at white people and policemen and anybody I come in touch with, and I'm giving them a kind word and I'm encouraging them because it's important to that one. Somebody in your family, somebody at your job, somebody at church needs to know. And it used to not be a thing. I don't know what happened, but you'll never have an excuse again. It used to not be a problem with a brother jumping up and helping a lady up the stairs, helping her down the stairs, helping somebody open the door, helping somebody close the door. We need to get that back, because you'll notice this is not a request. This is a command. And I want to suggest that this is not about a feeling, because feelings cannot be commanded. I can't command you, be cold in the name of Jesus. Be hot in the name of Jesus. So when God commands us to love one another, he's not telling you to get a tingly feeling. Everyone you come in touch with, it's important that you reflect the love of God. That you help carry the load, and it's not going to be a one-day thing. It's not going to be a one-time thing. But as you do it, you're going to discover glory to God, a secret about love. You are going to feel better, and you are going to get better as you start obeying the command of God to reflect the love of Jesus in the earth. So find somebody who's not in your tribe, who's not in your group. Find somebody who's as far different from you. Different faith, different race, different socioeconomic. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. Back when I used to drive through McDonald's, at least once a week, I would pay for the person behind me. Because I knew they didn't know me, and there was nothing they could give me back. And I would hope that before I got out of the line, they would read my license plate. And it says agape more. Love more. And you ought to find somebody that you don't know, that can't do anything for you, that you may never see again, and love them so good that they'll get jealous. Sometimes folks ask me, "Well, Pastor Mike, what you think about this kind of marriage? What you think about that kind of marriage?" I tell them, if they don't have Jesus, they about to get jealous watching me love Pauline. I'm going to love my baby so good, they're going to think their marriage is inferior. Make my baby smile when ain't nothing funny. You ought to love your pastor so good, folk want to come visit your church just to see how to love pastors. You ought to love folks so much at Safeway and Raley's at Costco. And folks say, "Whatever she got, like, give me some of that." And bless God, Pastor Steve say, "You drunk in the spirit." Some of y'all have never experienced having so much of the joy of the Lord that somebody thought you was loaded. Thought you were straight up high, grinning like that. Haven't you heard about COVID? Haven't you heard about unemployment? I'm gonna try not to dance now. Don't make me dance. Glory, don't you know that my God has promised to supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. God is not broke. God is not insufficient. God is still on the throne, and God will give you everything you need. And you start getting happy about that and realizing you have so much right now. You're already rich.
Yes.
You're already making it.
Yep.
How dare you complain? Some of you got the nerve to complain that your lobster isn't hot enough. Your lobster? Not hot enough. Eat some sushi. What are you talking about? I want some new tennis shoes. I've been blessed, and God has already forgiven me. Patrick up there, he know me. He know I'm a tennis shoe dude. I was calling myself, Brother Jim, want some tennis shoes, and I went and looked at my tennis shoes. I had to repent. I got tennis shoes, high top, low top, medium top. I got weightlifting. I got running that I'm not going to do. I got walking. I got all them shoes. I don't need shoes. I need Windex. Clean off the shoes I have. Bless God. God has already given. And if you'll start loving somebody with what you have, God will give you a whole new level of satisfaction. I didn't mean to get stuck there. Go love God. Go love your neighbors. Go love your sons, your daughters, your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather. And if you have to literally change their diapers, do that. But you may have to mentally change their diapers, because you say, don't they know better than that by now? They're doing the best they can. You help them get to where God wants them to get to, and God's going to help you get to where God needs you to get to. But then thirdly, go love yourselves. True stories told. Brother Scott. Muhammad Ali, at the peak of his career, went and sat down in first class, and stewardess came by and said, Mr. Ali, put on your seatbelt. Muhammad Ali said, I'm Superman. Superman don't need no seatbelt. The stewardess said, Superman don't need an airplane. Some of you are running around thinking you have no room for improvement. And you don't even know. You hate yourself so bad that you think you don't even need love. But life has a way of teaching you. Even Superman needs a seatbelt. You may think you're Wonder Woman. You may think you're Superman. But you need to know enough to love yourself. Bless God. You see Pastor Mike with his mask on. I don't know if you have the cooties. I don't know if I had the cooties. But I'm going to put my mask on in case I got the cooties. And I don't want to cootify you. And you put your mask on because you just might. So I don't want you to cootify me. So I gotta love myself so I can get to all of what God has for me. Because I'm almost done. You need to love yourself enough, and I put it here so I tell you to have it and give it to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Put it in the middle of the Bible, because when they get in enough trouble, they'll open it up. Get God's love for his vision for you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I hope that you'll get this today. God, the reason you need to give all that you have to God is because God has a better vision for you than you have for yourself. With some of you think you're ugly, but you know, bless God, when that little baby is born, his parent, even though he might look like a little wrinkled up piece of butter done melted. Some Gouda cheese that a little mold on him. But to his daddy and to his mama, he's the apple of their eye. And when God looks at you with your wrinkled up self, with your huggy needing self, he says you are the apple of his eye. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. But he knows, and you need to know, that it's a process, and he loves us over and over as we mature, and God wants you to love yourself over and over and over again until you get the vision of what you were born for. He is going to make it better if you learn to love yourself through the process. Get his vision for you and then get his passion for you. God wants you to transfer your passion for his passion, because he's, thank you, Lord. Harry S. Wright, I thank God for him. I was a student at Bishop College and he preached it. I put it in the book of Mike. He said, young men, if you keep taking your body on a test run, when it comes time for the real race, you might be out of gas. Young men, you don't need to try everything that fits in a zigzag. You don't need to drink everything that comes in a bottle. And that natural desire you have for sex, God has already provided a thing called marriage for you to fulfill beyond your wildest dreams, because some of you are hunting for an illusion. And God wants to give you a passion for him that'll reignite a passion for your wife and reignite a passion for doing things his way. Love yourself enough to transfer your passion for his passion, and then know about a legacy. God wants to, thank you. Some of us have forgotten about all through the Bible. It says, such were some of you. But God wants to rewrite your story, and he wants you to love yourself enough to give you a new legacy, so that when your son and your grandson and your great-grandson ask, how did we make it? They'll say, Daddy and Mommy and Nina and great-granddaddy, they prayed. They went to church. Their marriage had some rocky spots, but they had some spiritual shock absorbers to help them get through every road and get through every curve and get through every problem. And they made it over and over and over again. And you ought to love yourself enough to rewrite your story. God has something better for you, but you need to love yourself enough to let God love you, love him back, and then start loving yourself. And then love yourself enough to get his definition of what is right for you. Nobody shouldn't have to tell you about what's right and what's wrong. You ought to be walking so close with God. And some of you already know, but you have thought it was a bad exchange to exchange your love for his love. God has way more for you than you could ever ask or think. And so today I want to challenge you, and I make no apologies at all. Because some of us, COVID's not killing you. A white racist and a black racist is not killing you. The Democrats and the Republicans are not killing you. You are killing yourself. And so I want to give you what God gave me and what he's given to you today. And we're closing with this in Deuteronomy 30 and 19. It's up to you. It says, look on your outline. Look up on the screen. It says, today I have given you the choice. It's there. It's available. This love is above and beyond what you can ask or think, but you got to choose. The choice between life and death is there for you. This love is right there, and you are going to either live eternally or die eternally. Between blessings and curses. Some of us have done so much wrong, we think the only option we have is to be cursed. You have an option. You can choose God's love and choose his blessings and love God and love people and love yourself and start experiencing life that's so wonderful you'll be scared of yourself, because it'll get so good that you'll think it's a trick. And not only that, you need to know somebody is watching you. Some of you, if I ask you, you say, I love my mama, but she's gone. I love my daddy, but he's gone. I love my friend, but they died on me. You may have never thought of this, but it's in this verse. I didn't write it. It says, now I call on heaven and earth to witness. I believe absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's somebody who you love, and since they've died, you turned into a wild fool. Because you think the one person that I knew cared about me is not here anymore. They're watching over the portals of heaven to see. He said, I call heaven and earth. And there's some little fella, some little girl that you would never imagine. I didn't know what my daddy was teaching me. We had 5 children, my mama and my daddy and my grandmama in the house. I never even knew we were broke. Because every now and then, my daddy would pull up that station wagon, and when we'd hear the car turn off, we would run to the porch. My daddy had bags and bags of groceries. I knew he had some strawberry ice cream for Mikey. And we would run and carry the bags in and the bags in. I didn't know what it meant. I said, why is he going to work so early? He'd have a bunch of bags up on his arms and folders. He worked at the Oakland Army Base, and he'd be leaving at old dark 30. Going to work. Over. I say, why my daddy work so hard? My daddy get home, you'd be talking to him, and he'd be saying, yes, he wake up Mac and pick up right where he left off talking. Fall asleep sitting in that chair. I never knew he was tired from feeding all of us. But now I know. Bless God, God has given me the ability to retire. But I still wake up at 4 o'clock. Why? Because I woke up at 4 o'clock for 40 years. I was watching my daddy. Somebody's watching you. They need to know how to worship. They need to know how to go to church. They need to know how to pray. They need to know how to love a husband, love a wife. They're watching you. Witness the choices you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, teach us how to love you. Teach us that it's the deal of the century to exchange all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength for the love that only God can give. Teach us to love you with everything, because when we give it to you, you always give it back new and improved. And then teach us, Lord, the huggy principle. Teach us, Lord Jesus, that not only do children need long-time care, marriages need long-time love. Parents and grandparents, as they get into their golden years, they need long-term love. And if it takes changing grown-up diapers, if it takes loving them and caring for them over and over again, that's a fair exchange. Because as you teach us how to love our families better, you'll give us a joy and a satisfaction above and beyond what we could ask or think. And then teach us, Lord, how to love somebody of a different race, from a different neighborhood, from a different faith, of a different persuasion, that they might know the love of God in the earth. And then teach us, Lord, how to quit hating ourselves. Teach us to treat our spirits better, our minds better, by not taking in so much garbage. Treat our bodies better. You've fearfully and wonderfully made us. Help us to do the maintenance. Drink some water. Eat some good food. Go to sleep. Rest in your arms. And teach us, Lord God, to choose today to go love the Lord, go love our neighbor, and go love ourselves. And knowing that through the power of your Holy Ghost, you never ask us to do anything that you won't give us the power to do. So we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. If you would like to learn more about us, please visit encounterjesus.us or search for Encounter Church San Leandro in your app store.